Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 223, part 1, In All Things. Today is Friday, December 2, 2011.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Yes, I said my three S's. Smile, star, strong. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA.
What? I'm doing the podcast.
Oh no. Where was I? Okay. I am coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Micro Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, maybe you're a senior, 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. There's a lot of food here. Don't be shy. What you need to bring is a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify your household members. And bring extra bags. There's a lot of free bread outside. Okay. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where those of you who don't need food can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's Club. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. All right. Scripture links. Yes. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find some scripture links there that Pastor Paul uses within his message. I have gone to a lot of trouble to go find those links for you so you can have a private Bible study on your own. So be sure to check those out. And the month of December. Okay, here's the lineup for the podcast. Four messages starting with In All Things, Consolation, Grower or Growee, Cry Out for Deliverance. And for New Year's, I'm going to give you January's just because I want to. Why is the name of the message? And why are we doing this podcast? Well, it's a lot of fun. And I hope you're getting something out of it, like the meaning of life. I want to end December with just a special little conversation between Danny Rose and Tina Vitale, one of my favorites. Here goes. Danny Rose. My rabbi, Rabbi Pearlstein, used to say, we're all guilty in the eyes of God. Tina Vitale. Do you believe in God? Danny Rose. No, but I'm guilty over it. Danny Rose. It's very important to be guilty. I'm guilty all the time, and I never did anything. For all you guilt-ridden people out there, listen to Pastor Paul's every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. God bless you, and have a great month of December. And keep your gifts under $50.
Tonight's message is entitled, In All Things. I'm going to minister before we get into Romans 8 and 37. I should like to get into Acts 5, 40 through 42, and it goes like this. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. We're going to tell you to not talk in the name of Jesus, and then we're going to let, because a lot of things happened when they talked in the name of Jesus. Okay, verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Here they were now in this situation, in all things, in this situation, and they said, well, you know, let's rejoice. I mean, we're worthy to suffer shame for his name. Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, now they were starting to get around, they ceased not to preach and to teach Jesus Christ. Now they just got done telling them to shut up. And they went out of there rejoicing that they were able to suffer for the name of Jesus. Then they went out to every church and every house and ministered the name boldly. 1 Peter then 4 and 14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now, we're going to get into this kind of end-time ministry, and I think we need to hear these kind of, you know, ministries coming forth from the pulpit. Let's look in tonight also before we start and get into Romans 8 and 37. Let's look over here in Philippians 1 and 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Wait a minute, I want to tell you something here, he's saying. So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. All the guards know about it, and to everyone else. And that the most of the brethren, trusting the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, he goes on, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. In this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. Now all that suffering is bringing them through some kind of a deliverance here. And provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to be my provider through all of these trials and tribulation. And even though he says, goes on, and even though that some people just proclaim it for their own gain, they're still preaching Christ. So the job is getting done. Now, I don't want you to run backwards, retreat on account of these messages that I preach here. You listening on the radio. I mean, sometimes our handicap should drive us forward. Look at David and Uriah's wife. Well, what happened there? Well, what happened was Solomon. Anyway, Jesus told his disciples that when people turned them out of one village, they were to flee to the next. Keep right on going. In other words, if you have to flee, flee forward. Flee right into the battle. Flee right on to the next opportunity. Because your very handicap, a lot of times, may be new points of departure. You may run right into a place where God takes you to a point where you're fleeing into this thing, and okay, you jump on another train and you take on another trip. Then we have those that flee backwards. When trouble comes, they flee back to their doctrinal bags. No, I think we should flee forward. I think a lot of times people get into fear. I know in my own ministry many times I've kind of fear what might come on. Earlier when I came down here to the north side and I got to into this missions here, I had a greater fear, probably a lot of times even now. But you know what? That fear can make us run backwards and have all kinds of things go wrong with us. I had people that were in ministry with me. They had stomach problems. They headaches. They were depressed. The other night, I had a little fit of depression. No, it didn't last for long. I knew what it was. I probably had it for about 4 or 5 hours, went to sleep, woke up, and I just thought, well, now that thing is over. I knew when I went to sleep that depression was going to leave. And it was nothing light. It was something like I had experienced some 25 years before. I hadn't never experienced that since that time. And this terrible depression came on. It didn't last long, though, so I don't want all you depressed ones out there. They go, oh, great. Now I can just fall down on my face. No, you might stay that way for a little while, but you got to get up and flee forward. But you can get these headaches and you can get depressed and you can sometimes even lose your voice. I've had people come in and you know they say, you know, I have such fear that I have backaches. You know what? I mean, you get all these excuses going, it's going to react in your body. It's going to cause a breakdown in your very body. Are you hearing this tonight? Then we have people that say, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. No, Romans 8:37, now listen to me. Romans 8:37 says like this, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now I know a lot of times we quote that like parrots. If you haven't been through anything, it doesn't mean anything to you. But the Bible does say in all things. And I believe these things were not pleasant or agreeable things. Listen to them in Romans 8:35. Tribulation. Now that's a negative thing to most of the Christian world right now. Distress. These are what he named. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Persecution. Famine. All the things we don't want to hear about. Nakedness. Peril. Sword. Isn't that a combination of blessings? Well, really it is, see? Because how can you be more than an overcomer through Christ if there's nothing to overcome? If you can just claim your way out of things, you don't have to go through any tribulation, any kind of persecution, any distress, any nakedness, any peril, any sword. Where's the battle that we're always talking about but never receive? But yes, Paul says, not in some of them we win and some of them we lose, but in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, this is going to take away all excuses here, see. Oh, yeah, but God, you don't know. I'm just under pressure. God, I'm just... Let me tell you something. There is a spirit of depression. You can either take it on or you can shake it off. How many heard that one? Sometimes they get to be pleasant bedfellows and we like to have them with us. So we like to snuggle up to depression. We like to put the coffee pot on. Let me tell you about my life. No, sorry, I don't want to hear about your life. I have enough troubles of my own. How many hearing this message tonight? The Bible says we are not only conquerors, but more than conquerors. We are conquerors in the original Greek abundantly. We are conquerors in the original Greek plus. Plus we are ready for more. We're cool in conflicts. We say no sweat in conflicts. We can do all things well. We are can-do people. We can say, love can take it. You know, if you don't go through anything, what kind of a message can you give someone? No. We are more than conquerors. Now, I believe I know a little bit about what I'm ministering here tonight. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now the world says, easy come, easy go. Let me tell you, without Jesus, nothing comes easy and everything goes hard. What a confession, huh? How many found that out to be true? No. It's hard on your flesh. Are you hearing this? No, you'll gain something out of this if you hear what I'm preaching here tonight. You're on the radio, don't turn it off. Then we have the Buddhist over here. He's indifferent to all things. Pretend it doesn't exist. I say, you know, I was reading this and I thought, well, some Christianity is sort of like the Buddhist. Oh, it's just not, no, that's not so. It doesn't exist. Then we have the Hindus over here and they're apart from all things, separation from life. And I thought, hey, that kind of represents some Christianity that I've seen lately. And then we have the Muslims, and they're beyond all things. Why bother? We're beyond that. And I thought, a lot of Christianity is sort of like that right now. And then we have the cults. They deny all things. No, that's not true. No way. Prove it. And I thought, that's exactly what they're preaching right now. No, no, just don't claim it. Don't say it isn't so. No, the real Christian word is in all things. You listening on the radio, I would really like to have you hear that and write it down. In all things. Instead of being indifferent to all things, instead of being apart from all things, beyond all things, denying all things, we look all things in the eye and confess we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And we go on. And in the end time, we're going to have to minister that strong in heart in all things. But then we're going to have the indifferent, the apart from, the beyond, the not denying all things people. They want victory apart from tribulation. They want a victory apart from the distress and the persecution and the famine, which the Bible tells us and names these things out. They want their victory apart from nakedness and peril and sword. They don't want to hear any of that. Running from these things only gives them more power. You take to run away from a dog sometime. Some dog just barking at you. Turn your back on that dog and start to run. Brother, he's going to have a mouth full of the seat of your pants. You hearing this? No, you don't run from those things. You get in. It says, in all things, in tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, in peril, in sword. In all things. No, I didn't say go out looking for those things. You don't have to. I didn't say go out there and be nasty so those things come to you. I just said they're going to be there. See, we want our victory in the battle of tribulation, in the battle of distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword. Because after all, I think I know and I can minister some point of view here. Life is a battle. How many have found out so far in their life that it is a battle? I'll put your hands up, you on the radio. Life's a battle. I've been in several battles just this week. The battle of getting up. The battle of going on. The battle of discouragements. The battle of people letting you down. See, there is no escape mentally. I mean, you can't sit down and mentally just let your arms hang down and get in one of these psyched out things, you know, where you just, okay, now just relax now. That's it. Let's relax. Let hang forward and just relax. You know what's not going to relax? Your mind. I see people cringing right now.
God, you can say that again. My mind just won't let me rest.
Well, the Bible says, let your mind be renewed. Let it be washed by the water of the Word. Having the mind of Christ. You know, when you have the mind of Christ, what you're going to get into? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. But then again, the mind of Christ can take that, can't it? See, you can go to Florida all you want to, and your mind is going to go right with you. You can even take drugs, and your mind, you can't escape your mind. It gets drugged. It just thinks a little slower is all. A fellow came to me, and he says, you know what? He said, I find that when I have drinks, it helps my mind. You know what I told him? I says, think before you have a morning after. Think before that you have a morning after. You always have a morning after. Huh? No way can you escape the shakes. Remember, I used to get up and just tremble all over. You'll always have the morning after to pay the price for your mistakes. Think about the morning after. You cannot escape from your mind. You know what? Your mind needs continual coaching from the God of forgiveness. Your mind needs a total escape from guilt. And you can only get that by looking on the Lord every morning. You can't jump off this planet Earth. Where would you go if you did get off? You can't sidestep the issues. Did you ever try to sidestep the issues? You know, it's just a great big circle. You might turn your back on the issue and you'll come right around in a circle and you have to face that same issue. And so really, you see, everyone is in this thing. Some people won't, they don't want to receive this thing in their minds. See? No. You have to face up to this fact that we're going to have tribulation, that we're going to have distress, and that we're going to have persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword. Because our way is in. We are the original in crowd. Have you been in trouble this week, anybody? Have you been in mental straits? In mental straits? No, I think people who are really in trouble, the others, the ones that are saying we are apart from it all, we are above it all, we are beyond it all. See, by fighting the truth, they live a lie and lose. When they say it's only a symptom, when they don't face the issue head on, and say, well, you know Paul, or you know Betty Lou or Fred, you know, this is the way it appears to be. Why not take some definite action and die? Why not deny yourself? Why not face the issue? Maybe you're listening on the radio. Maybe there's something that you have to face. Maybe there's some truth that you have to face. Some kind of a tribulation. Some kind of a distress. Some kind of a persecution. Some kind of a famine. Some kind of a nakedness or peril. Or some kind of a sword. Maybe it's the facing of that thing that'll set you free. And you know what? Then and then only can you say, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. But first of all, you got to have the guts to go in and admit something. Now, Jesus got the answer in. Man was in trouble till God came in man. It's the only way out. Oh, I'll tell you. We need to upgrade our ministry. We need to get bold in our preaching. Tell people that the Christian way, the way of realism instead of idealism. Be real. A fellow called me this morning. He says, well, it wasn't really this morning. It was sometime back. He said, you know, he says, I'm having problems here. And he went on with this story, and I thought, God, that is quite a problem. This is really a problem. And I says, you know what? I could minister to you, but I'll just tell you what it is. You're going to have persecution, you're going to have nakedness, you're going to have peril, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have sword, you're going to have all these things. And you are going to have to work in them and work out of them while you're in them. And I says, you're going to have to trust in the Lord. And I says, that's all I can tell you. Because we as Christians have more than an idea. We have the living Word, Jesus Christ. And we get all of our victory in or not at all. You're looking for victory? You won't get no victory unless you're in it. God, you got to get in it. Got to face the truth. I wish I had a nickel for every bit of truth I had to face since I came here to the north side. Oh, just about myself. Say amen, somebody. John 16 and 32, and it goes on like this. Behold, an hour is coming, and has already come, for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now, preachers, if you're modeling yourself after the Lord Jesus Christ, put your name in there. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation. Was that a surprise to you? No. The Bible tells you you're going to have it. God, how much do I have to have? I've had my fair share. God, give some tribulation to somebody else. Do you want somebody else's problems? Hey, would you want to be up here in an iron lung right now? I know people in iron lungs. Laying there trying to draw a picture with your teeth. Would you want to be in prison right now? Would you want to be like Paul? Stoned? In a little prison where he couldn't even get up sometimes? No, in everything the Bible says, God works for good. Well, how can I get the victory in this situation? The fellow called me. My wife left. Or my husband is a drunk. My kids are drug freaks. How can I get the victory on this one? I lost my job. My husband left. I got money problems. My son is dying. Don't you understand? My son is dying. Well, maybe they'll go to someone. They'll say, well, they'll just confess that he isn't going to die. Well, what happens if he dies? I think there's a lot of nincompoop ministry going on. Say amen, somebody. I said it and glad I did. I think we need to hear messages like this. Romans 8 and 28. We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him. Now, the thing itself may not be good. It may be evil, but God works in evil to turn it around for our good. He created them both, you know. Look at the cross. The cross is evil, yet God works in evil and redeems man. Look at Mary, a sinful woman. And the Savior was born through a sinful woman. Think about that one. God came through a sinner. And here was the cross. It was made to destroy. And it saved. And so it actually double-crossed the devil. See, the cross is the very heart of the gospel. And so don't be surprised when you get into problems here. Don't expect to be saved from trouble and hard times. And from evil, but through them, get the victory. Are you looking for victory? I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. Right in the middle of a mess, I'm looking for victory. Right now, I'm looking for $30,000 just to make it through the winter. I mean, that is if collections keep up. If not, we have to look for $85,000. Well, let's just say we're looking for $85,000. Let's be honest about it. Just to make it through the winter. Well, I mean, you look out at these seats in this balcony out here and you say, my God, where is it going to come from? Now, you preachers out there, are you discouraged? No, don't be discouraged. Are you relying on people or person or persons? Well, maybe that's your tribulation, your trial, and your nakedness and peril and sorrow. Maybe those are the things, see. But through all that, are you looking for a victory? Well, it's going to come. You might die, and that's a victory. I mean, what do you call victory? I mean, though that they slay me, yet will I trust him. Well, you got the victory, okay? You can't go by sight. A lot of times people come in, they go by sight. Well, what's going to happen now? I mean, say amen. Don't always look for miracles. Be one. Don't you want to be a miracle? I believe God has caused a miracle and that we're still alive down here. And yet we're looking for a miracle. God, send a miracle. He's already sent one. He sent you. Jesus didn't look like a miracle for a time, did he? On a cross? On a hill far away? No place to rest his head? But yet, there was victory there. There was victory in the Father. I mean, are you looking for victory? Hey, I'm looking for victory. Well, how will you know when it comes? Well, I believe I am the victor. I believe I am God's victory. That's why the Bible says, having done all, stand. How can you have a victory if all the soldiers fall down? They are the victory, and they are the miracle of the victory and the battle. How many are hearing this? I mean, there is a miracle, but there is a miracle of grace. Now you're seeing a miracle of grace right here in this church. God's grace is sufficient. Well, isn't that a miracle? Hey, come on down at about 12 o'clock and see the grace of God working a miracle through people. I mean, what do we have to do to open the eyes of people to say you're seeing a miracle, a grace of God continuing on? Now, should we get in the flesh? Start out in the spirit and get in the flesh? Whew. Now I'm looking for a miracle, huh? Well, go take a look in the mirror. 2 Corinthians 6 and 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance. Oh, I know this isn't ministry, but my God, it's in the Bible. I got 12 hours of ministry like this. I mean, like talking like a machine gun. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in afflictions, in, notice the word in hardships, in distresses. There it is. What have you got to get depressed about? I'm not saying you won't get that way, but why do you stay that way? Do you like to be that way? Do you love it? Do you love it so much that you want others to share it with you? Now I know there's someone listening on the radio right now. Their lips are hanging out like two limp pieces of calf liver. Listen to it. But in everything commending ourselves as servants of God in, here it is, in much endurance. Now that means you got to endure. Have you ever done any boxing? You listening on the radio and your arms, now you're forcing your body to go on. You think, God, I can't go another step. And you're forcing your body to belt it out, and you're forced, or if you're a track star and you're forcing yourself to run. Your mind is saying no, and your body is saying no, and everything is saying no, and a part of you is saying yes, and you're just, oh. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses. Now listen to this. You want some more ins? We're the in crowd. Now the in crowd doesn't look too attractive right now, does it? No. Doesn't look too attractive. Let me go on with the in crowd. In beatings. In imprisonments. In tumults, in labors. Oh, there is a dirty word. Labors. In sleeplessness. Oh, sluggards. And if you weren't so lazy, you'd turn me off right now. In hunger. In purity. In knowledge. In patience. In kindness. In the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and for the left. Now you have to have a sword in each hand. I mean, we're in trouble here. And it goes on, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers. Now, preacher, are you hearing it? Regarded as deceivers and yet true. as unknown and yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death. I mean, how long does this have to go on? Why don't you just kill me? As sorrowful, yet rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. I'm just talking about this ministry right here. This is what you're in. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. There it is. Do you want to be part of it? Do you want to be part of the realistic body of Christ? Are you going after idealism or are you going after realism? Well, you might have to give up a few things. To that I say, so what? And so our victory, you see, is in and through. We're not indifferent to things. We're not apart from things. We don't deny they exist. We don't bow and bend to things. We don't try to escape from these things. We don't say, if you can't beat them, join them. See, but we can use everything that comes, everything. Well, just send it our way. You can use the good, and you can use the bad, and you can use the indifferent. And make it, the Bible says, make it work together for good if God is our partner. So now we're working into a workable faith. Well, how do you know if faith works unless it's in these things? Now we have a workable faith. One that works in and through tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. And so faith does not take us away from, but takes us to, puts us in, so we can work it out while we're in situations. That's where faith will take you. Faith will take you into those very things that I'm talking about tonight. You will walk up to the very door, and you'll have to walk in to tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. That's where faith will take you. So now Paul brings 10 things, and I want you to listen very closely to this. He takes us into 10 things into the picture that can't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to it closely. Now when you hear these 10 things, I believe it will exhaust all possibilities of things that might cause us to fall apart. I believe nothing can break us if we don't break away from God. Nothing can break us. And here it is. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now there's your comfort. And that's out of Romans 38 and 39.
There you have it. That was part one, In All Things. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
El gato amor, el gato amor, el gato amor, child, el gato amor.